Psalm 42 begins like this: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And my question for you this morning is, can you relate? What is there in your life that you long for? That you just cannot get enough of it? And that if ever it seems like you don't have it, you will do whatever it takes to get to it. Is nearness to God your greatest desire? Do you long for God, as the psalmist said there in Psalm 42, that you pant for him as a deer that is about to die of thirst pants for water, that you're longing for God that strong? And if ever it's not, we need to know this: that nearness to God is your greatest good. There is nothing that you could desire or pursue that can compare to nearness to God. And it cost God greatly to make the way for you to be near to him. That God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so your sins could be forgiven, so you could be near to him. Now, God didn't send his Son to die on the cross so that you could be wealthy. He did not send his Son to die on the cross so you could be comfortable, or so you could live through this life healthy, or to excel at your hobbies, or so all your dreams could come true. Jesus came and died so you could be near to God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. As we've been studying through the book of Hebrews, we have been seeing that the author of Hebrews has shown why that is so. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we have seen there is no other way to God, because nothing else can really deal with your sin. And that is an absolute must for anyone to get anywhere near to God. Your sin has to be dealt with, because God is holy, holy, holy. Animal sacrifices, everything that went along with the law of Moses, was not sufficient. It could not do what the people of Israel really needed to bring them near to God. What it really accomplished, no matter how hard they tried or how successful they may have been at keeping that law, was just a reminder that they were sinners. There is nothing that we could try today, no matter how hard we try, or how well we may succeed at what we try, that can give us the perfect righteousness we must have to be able to stand before God, to come into his presence. There is nothing other than the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God in our place on the cross. And that sacrifice, the author of Hebrews has made this very clear, was so powerful and so sufficient that it only needed to be made once. And it is sufficient for all who believe on Christ for eternity. That one sacrifice was everything needed to make Jesus the Savior we must have, to be able to stand before God and be near to him. The author of Hebrews has had us look at that fact from every angle, up through chapter 10, verse 18, which is where we concluded last week. And he has thoroughly proven that Jesus Christ is superior to everything else. It is only through his sacrifice that you can be saved. So what difference does that make for you today? What does that mean for you in your daily life? What difference should knowing this make when you're going through a hard time? When some of those times happen that it looks like life is unraveling, what does it mean to you then that Jesus Christ is the only way, that he is your sufficient sacrifice? What difference should knowing this make when life is just same old, same old? You get up again in the morning for another day of work, another day, another dollar, received and spent, or doing another load of laundry. Does this truth that we've seen in Hebrews, does it make a difference for you today? Well, let's remember the context of those who first received this letter. They were living in the real world. And I think I've mentioned this and I seem to come across this often, that people have this idea that the Bible is nice, it's got some good ideas, but it doesn't really have answers for real life. The people this was written to, that these answers were given to, the real, right answers, they were living in the real world. They had real world problems. Besides the normal health problems and money problems and relationship problems that everyone goes through, they were being persecuted for aligning themselves with Jesus Christ. They were suffering. Now, it apparently hadn't quite gotten to the point of martyrdom, but that was probably coming. They could probably see that on the horizon. To this point, some of those among them had been put in prison. Some of them, maybe all of them, had their possessions taken away from them. So life was hard. These were people who were looking for answers. Tell us what we need to know to live today. So what is a person to do in a situation like that? The author of Hebrews started out by preaching doctrine to them. Now remember that when you're going through a hard time. We may think, well, doctrine's the last thing we need. We just need some advice on how to get through today. But doctrine was the first thing they needed. They needed to know who Christ is. They needed to know what they have in Christ, if they have believed in him. They need to know that he is so worthy of their trust that they should never waver or doubt. And that turning away from Christ was definitely not the answer, because some of them were being tempted to do that. But what should they do now on that day that they received this letter in their suffering? The author of Hebrews says, draw near to God. And we're moving into the practical or the application part of the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 begins this application section. We're just going to focus on the first command that the author gives his readers in this section. That command comes in verse 22. Let us draw near. Again, remember the circumstances of the people he was writing to, the severe way that they were suffering. The answer to their questions of what they needed to do that day, what they needed more than anything else, to draw near to God. Now, we've seen this idea come up a few times in Hebrews already. We've seen that this was the goal of what Jesus came to do. This was the place where the Old Testament law fell short. Jesus came and he died and rose again so that you, by grace through faith in him alone, could draw near to God. You remember what we saw back in chapter 7, verse 19, where it said, "For the law made nothing perfect." And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The law couldn't accomplish that. Jesus did. In the law, there was always that curtain separating people from God. In the tabernacle, in the temple, they could not go past that curtain into the Holy of Holies. That curtain was so important. It was 4 inches thick. They were serious about this. You could not draw any nearer to God. Most of the people of Israel couldn't even get that close. They couldn't even get up to that curtain. But to protect the holiness of God from sinners, that curtain said, "You can't come here." But through Christ, we can draw near. Draw near to God, and that is your greatest good. There is nothing more important than that. That is the most important thing the author of Hebrews could exhort his readers to do, whatever the circumstances were they were in. Draw near to God. If you love your spouse or your children, let's say and your children, you should love them both. If you love your spouse and your children, the most important thing you could want for them is for them to draw near to God. The purpose of our training and our disciplining our children should be for the purpose of wanting them to draw near to God. Far more than making sure they're in a position where they can get a good paying job or have a fulfilling career. If those aren't bad things, but those are not ultimate things. Drawing near to God is ultimate. As you go and make disciples through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through teaching the truth of God's word, the goal is so that those who hear can draw near to God. Is it your goal each morning when you get up to draw near? Is it your goal each day to live out that day in nearness to God? And if you ever find that you are not there, do you pant for it? You cannot wait to get there, to be near to God, like the deer panting for water. It's about to die if it doesn't get it. If that is your desire, if that is what you want each morning when you wake up, how do you get there? How do we draw near to God? Let's think about some of the things the Israelites may have wanted to be able to go into the Holy of Holies to do, but they couldn't. You just imagine if today there was a centralized location where you could go to meet with God. If you wanted to be near to God, you had to go to this one location. And just for sake of argument, if there was such a place, and we could say, just imagine it's in Jerusalem. Or if you're not a traveler, you can imagine it somewhere closer. But if there was one place where you could go to meet with God, wouldn't you want to go there? And we're supposing that you can get in there to that place. The Israelites couldn't get into that Holy of Holies, but just supposing you could, wouldn't you want to go to that place and worship God? If you knew God as you know Him now, wouldn't you want to go there? Just be close to Him. To worship Him for His excellencies. Wouldn't you want to go there and speak to God about the things that are going on in your life, about your sin, and bring Him your problems, seek His forgiveness? That was one of the few things the high priest could go there into that Holy of Holies to do once a year to intercede for the people of Israel. If you could do that, wouldn't you want to? And wouldn't you want to go there to that place to hear from God? To get to know Him better and learn what He wants you to know about life and how to live? Wouldn't you want to go there just to be with God? To be close to Him? To think about Him, about His greatness, and think about that if you are there near to God, that there is nothing that anyone could do to you to separate you from Him. No one could harm you there in His presence. Wouldn't you want to gather there with your friends and your family so that you could join together in being near to God? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, there isn't that centralized location in the world today. But Scripture tells us that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in you. You don't have to go to a certain place to do those things. You can do most of those things that I mentioned right where you are anytime. So right now, and every day, you can draw near to God by worshiping Him for His excellencies. You can draw near to God by speaking to Him in prayer about anything and everything. We saw in chapter 4, verse 16, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Draw near. Bring your problems to God. Bring your anxieties, all of your needs to the throne of grace. We draw near by reading and studying God's Word. Responding to what we learned there in God's Word by applying it to our lives. We draw near by looking at everything in life through the lens of God's Word. Having a biblical worldview. Looking at the world as God does. We draw near to God. We draw near to Him by meditating on Him. Meditating on His Word. And by remembering that through Christ, we are near. And that being with God, there is nothing and no one who can separate us from Him or do anything to harm us apart from God's will. We draw near by gathering as the body of Christ to do all of those things together with our family and our friends. We are to live every day in nearness to God. Until that day that we meet Him face to face and we are near Him in His visible presence in heaven for eternity. This is the greatest good anyone could have in this life and for eternity. Draw near to God. The most important thing the author of Hebrews could tell these believers that made up that church, the answer to their problems, whatever their circumstances may have been that day, the best thing they could do, the best thing we can do, draw near to God. Now, even though the author has spent so much time explaining how that could even be possible, as he begins this application section, he reminds them once again, you could probably say that he is showing them how important this is, why this is your greatest good to draw near to God, by reminding them how this is even possible that they can. These were Jews. And in their day, the temple was still there in Jerusalem. They lived most of their lives without ever giving a thought to the possibility of trekking up there to Jerusalem and confidently marching right into the Holy of Holies to meet with God. Never even crossed their minds. Because they knew they couldn't. But in an even greater sense, that's what they are being told to do here in Hebrews. Not to that representation of God's presence that used to dwell in the Holy of Holies. This is even more real than that. To draw near to God in His temple in you today. How could they go there? If they couldn't go into that Holy of Holies that was in Jerusalem, how could they draw near to God in this way? Back to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, we'll stop there. This is how they can draw near. We are permitted into God's presence because of the perfect, sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And because of His perfect representation of us in heaven today as our great priest. And whenever that high priest of the old covenant, when he went into that holy place on the Day of Atonement, the one day a year that he was permitted to go, confidence was probably never the word that would describe his entering. Fearful would probably be a better word. There were some Jewish writings that said that the high priest never stayed in the Holy of Holies for very long. Because if he did, there were people waiting outside to see how it went. And if he ever stayed in there for too long, the people would start to worry. Something must not have went right. He's probably dead. And so he would get out of there as quickly as he could to not worry the people. Now, the reason that that was an issue was because he was relying on an inferior sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats could not completely take away his own sin when he was going in there to meet with God. It's completely different for us today. That is not an issue for us today in Christ. Now, yes, we should draw near with reverence and respect because God is God. But we can also enter right into the holy place, right into God's presence, like we belong there, like we're family. Have you ever been in a situation, a group of people, where you felt out of place? Kind of felt like you don't belong? And sometimes when I know I'm in the presence of people who are much wealthier than I am, or if I'm in a group of people who are really good at things, sometimes in my selfish pride, I kind of feel like they're probably looking down on me. They probably don't think I fit in, and I don't feel like I fit in. I'm not worthy to be in their presence because I'm not rich. I'm on a different level than they are. I'm not good at things. Whatever it may be. You know, I dabble in some things, but I'm not the expert in the group. I don't have anything to add to the conversation with those who really know about these things. You know the feeling? You've been in situations like that. And yet, consider this, that we are, through Christ, invited to come right into the holy place, right up to God's throne, in the presence of the Lord, the Master, the Creator of the universe. And through Christ, we belong there. We can be there with confidence. We can be a part of the conversation because God actually wants us there. Now remember, this is the Word of God that we're looking at in Hebrews. We are not the author of Hebrews plus one. He's not saying, hey, I got an invitation to this great place. Why don't you come along with me? We're not going at His invitation. This is God's Word. This is God's exhortation to us. God is calling you to come up into His presence. He wants us to be there. And we can go with confidence because of the blood of Christ. The blood that has washed away our sins, and we saw has put our sins away, has taken them out of the picture. So they are no longer held against us by God, by a new and living way. Not the ways of the old covenant, not in the way of all those dead animals, but this is a new way through the new covenant, the sacrifice offered by Christ, who is now alive. It involved death, but not a permanent death. Jesus is now alive, and through His perfect sacrifice, He is living to make intercession for us before the Father. This is inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. Now this is in contrast to that veil of the tabernacle and the temple that was designed to keep people out. That veil, remember when Jesus died on the cross, was ripped open. When Jesus' flesh was ripped open on that cross. So through this veil, the veil of His flesh, we are invited in, not kept away. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, we are represented forever by the one who gave Himself for us, so we can draw near. Remember, God sent His Son to die on the cross to make this happen. He wants us there. He wants us to be near Him. Well, that being the case, how should we draw near? We can through Christ, so how should we? Verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. As you draw near to God in worship, in prayer, in the study of God's Word, in meditation on the truth of who God is, when you gather to do all of this with the church, know where you stand in Christ and don't waver. If you are truly drawing near to God, the only way you can be there is through Christ. So have your faith in Him alone and keep it there. Don't waver. Don't question if that's enough. He was saying to the Jews in the first century, don't try to come kind of trusting in Jesus, but thinking, well, maybe you need to keep one foot in the Mosaic law too. Just keep all your bases covered. We today should not be thinking, well, maybe it's our performance. That I've had a pretty good day today. I've done pretty well at obeying God, so maybe today is the day that I could draw near to God. That's not our confidence. That's not our hope. That's not our faith. It's not through our religious acts that brings us into God's presence. We shouldn't be tempted to think, well, maybe we need to go back to some of those things to help us pick up some of the slack. If our trust is in Christ, there is no slack. So come to God, draw near to Him with the full weight of your trust, leaning on Jesus Christ alone, and keep it there. He goes on in verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. As you draw near to God, realize what Christ's sacrifice has done for you. In chapter 9, we saw quite a bit about things being cleansed by blood and how the perfect blood of Christ through his perfect sacrifice on the cross is sufficient to perfect all who believe in him. His sacrifice has washed you clean from your sins. So even though you know you have sinned, we know God knows we have sinned, we don't need to think that God is holding those sins against us. And this is why we can draw near with confidence. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to feel like we're being looked down on or judged. Our conscience can actually be clear before God because Jesus' blood has actually cleansed us from our sin. And if you have been baptized in believer's baptism, that's the confession that you made publicly. And that seems to be what he's talking about here with the water. He's talking about that you believe this is what Jesus Christ's death on the cross accomplished for you on the inside. This is what you have confessed to the world through your baptism. That he has cleansed you of all of your sin. You've been washed clean on the inside. So remember the confession that you've made. Draw near to God. Jesus saved you. He died for you. We can even go back and say all of the plans that God worked out from before creation to bring his Messiah into the world, to be the Savior from sins, that was all accomplished so you could draw near to God. So you could be his worshiper. So we could be in the position that he created us to be in, which is close to him. Do you long for that? Is that your desire each day when you wake up? That you want to be near to God as the deer pants for the water brooks. Is it your longing of your heart to be near to God? If not, if we are longing for something else, we're missing out on the greatest good. We are settling for something far less. Let's not settle. Let us draw near. Let us do what we were created for. To be near to God. What Jesus died for. So we could draw near to God.